As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
What follows may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The world is full of stories. Stories of mysteries. Of curiosities. Of oddities. Join Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
Happy Halloween, freaks. Welcome to the bonus edition of the Halloween special.
I think Halloween always deserves a bonus.
It certainly does.
It's my favorite holiday.
And this year, because we had so many great entries from around the world, we thought, geez, let's do two. What the heck?
Absolutely.
And we've received stories from the Philippines, from
New Zealand,
from Ireland, from Canada, Fiji. Crazy. Just the amount of emails that we've combed through. If you sent a story and we did not get it on one of these episodes,
we're terribly sorry.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can. We wanted to start out with a story that comes from a good friend of ours who is also a legendary podcaster.
Hey, Kat and Jethro, Jim Harold here from Jim Harold's Campfire, and thank you for inviting me on the program to share one of my favorite Halloween stories or spooky stories from our campfire show. And the thing is that this one goes way back in the archives to 2009. And in fact, it is the first story in my first campfire book, of which there are five. And it's called Would You Like a Spot of Tea? And I'll be reading it from the perspective of Dave from the United Kingdom. And this, I love this story. So no British accent, but here goes. The thing is, this is kind of a secondhand story. My partner, Paula, and her family, well, they describe themselves as spooky. You sometimes meet people who have paranormal stories, and they've got like one paranormal story, and then you get a person to whom this happens on a monthly basis. Paula's whole family is like that. I'm convinced that whatever experience a person sees is as much about him or her as it is about the experience. Her family is willing to see whatever it is that exists as part of the other world. And I'm sure that whatever it is, it must be hereditary as well, because I meet so many people whose whole family has had these experiences. And my partner's family, they're into paranormal experiences. Paula's mom's experience is the most amazing I think I've ever heard. She often has small medical procedures, so she's not particularly well. She goes into the National Health Service every now and again. She lives in a place called Low Hill next to Liverpool, and she was in this NHS ward after an operation with lots of other people there. They were all asleep, and she was up quite late, just not being able to go to sleep. A nurse came around and talked to her for a few minutes and asked if she was okay, and asked her if she wanted a cup of tea. At this point, she said yes. She did want a cup of tea. Now, there was something about this nurse that seemed quite odd, but she couldn't put her finger on it at the time. The nurse went away and she didn't come back for ages. Actually, I think it was about an hour before she came back with the cup of tea. And by then, Paula's mom had realized what was strange. The nurse had an old-fashioned uniform on. Paula's mom asked her, "What's the deal with the old uniform?" The nurse apparently just smiled at her and walked away. The next morning, Paula's mom checked into the nurses that were on duty that night. There was only one on duty that evening, and it hadn't been the one in an old-fashioned uniform. Paula's mom became more and more convinced that she'd actually seen a ghost. Now, these things happen to her quite a lot. Spooky things. She sees psychics a lot, and this one particular psychic sees her. So she asked this guy about the experience. She described what happened, and he did whatever psychics do, and he said that he was getting a name. The name was Lily. So the next time Paula's mom went into the hospital for another small operation, she engaged one of the nurses in a conversation about the goings-on in this hospital. And she told the nurse that she felt she had had an experience when she was at a previous visit. So the nurse asked what happened. Paula's mom described it and which ward it was. The nurse said, "Oh, that would have been Lily." It turns out she was the resident ghost at that facility. I think they had a bit of a discussion, but again, I'm getting this secondhand. People who worked at the hospital apparently had done some research because lots of people had seen Lily. She'd never frightened anybody. She'd gone around and sort of just asked people if they needed any help and if they wanted a cup of tea. Now, whether she made all of these people cups of tea, I'm not quite sure. You know, we've all heard of a ghost talking to people, but never preparing food that I've heard of. I said to her, "You should have tried to push it as far as you could go. Try to get a latte or something." And that's Dave's story from the United Kingdom about Lily, the ghost nurse. And I love stories like that and love doing them on the campfire. And I love appearing on the show with Kat and Jethro. We tried to connect this year live and we couldn't, just too much going on. But I'm so glad that I was able to spend some time with you virtually. Happy Halloween, Kat and Jethro, and happy Halloween to all you oddballs out there. I mean that in the most loving way. Thanks for listening to this story. And stay spooky.
I totally believe that. I totally do. Some of those hospitals, especially older ones, there's just so much residual paranormal activity.
Yeah, and you've had some interesting hospital experiences, so I can definitely see how you'd be like, yep, absolutely, 100%, no doubt.
100%, yeah. When I was 6 years old, I had a seizure, went into a coma, and they had me at Boston Children's Hospital in the intensive care ward.
Is that when the man stepped out of the door?
Yeah. My bed in my room faced the door to the bathroom, and it was wood grain, but the grain of the wood looked like the outline of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And one night it materialized and stepped out of the door and came over and stood by my bed.
Was he administering fluids?
No. No, I don't know what he was doing. It was weird. He looked...
Yeah, it sounds pretty weird.
He looked like, I don't know.
Wait, was he wearing a hat?
He was wearing a robe.
Oh.
Yeah. But
oh,
I didn't.
That's got weird.
I wasn't afraid. It was, I think I should have been.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was
if
not.
If any man in a robe approaches your bed, just, you should be weirded out.
I still don't know what happened that time, whether it was maybe some medications they had given me or I don't know, but it was real as hell to a 6-year-old. Our next story comes from Kelly.
About 25 years ago, I was living in a house with a few other people. My room was in the basement, and this house was known to us to have a lot of unusual noises. Footsteps were known to be heard, kitchen cabinets opening and closing. So this particular night, I had said goodbye to everybody as they left. They were all out for the evening. The only other creature in the house was the cat, and she and I were downstairs. And we were in bed. I just turned the lights out and turned over, and I heard some footsteps start above me. Again, this was kind of normal. There was usually only a few, and then the noise would stop. This night, however, was different for some reason. The footsteps continued through the kitchen to the top of the stairs that came to the basement. Also at the top of those stairs was the door to the outside. And there was a light outside the door. In the evenings when somebody would either come to the back door or even come just to the top of the stairs to come down, a shadow was always visible, and nearly every single time I could tell exactly who it was that was casting the shadow. This evening, the footsteps made it to the top of the stairs. The light was on from outside, but I could see that there was no shadow being cast down the stairs. Then the footsteps started coming down the stairs. By this point, I was frozen because they were getting louder. They were becoming much more clear. And by the time it reached the bottom step, I heard the footsteps land on the bottom, and it was very audible, like it was two bare feet stepping onto the ceramic tile. By now, I'm completely frozen in fear. My cat, who had been sleeping soundly, had woken up and had fluffed up to three times her normal size and was starting to growl very softly to herself. She and I both were staring directly out the door at the bottom of the stairs. Then the footsteps started coming towards my room. It was 10 distinct steps, barefoot on ceramic tile, and there was not a person or anything visible to the naked eye. The steps ended about 4 feet away from me at the threshold to the bedroom. At this point, all I am doing is hoping that whatever it is over, it's done with, and I started to breathe. But the cat was still very visibly upset and started staring in the corners of the bedroom. And about 30 seconds after the footsteps had stopped, the sheets from my bed were pulled off from behind me. They were pulled about 2 feet off my body and off to the floor. And at this point, the cat and I took off racing up the stairs. I'm pretty sure I beat her. And we wound up sitting in the living room with all the lights on until everybody else got home, to which I checked with everybody to see if they'd ever had that sort of experience before. And everybody said that no, they'd never had anything like that. They'd only ever heard the footsteps or the banging of the cabinets or found cabinet doors open or closed. I moved out of that house as soon as I could and moved directly into another house that gave me just as many stories, but never anything as terrifying as that night.
One of your biggest fears, besides, I mean, when you see like movies where demons scurry up the wall and hide in the corner on the ceiling, those types of things really bother you. Also, the idea of somebody pulling your bed sheets off while you sleep.
Well, you're constantly pulling my bed sheets off. So I guess I should be used to it by now.
Maybe I've desensitized you at this point. You hear Kat and I talk a lot about Aura Frames, and there's a reason for that. We live in Ecuador, and our family is all over the place. In fact, Kat right now is up visiting her mom, and when I say up, I mean Maine. We got her an Aura Frame so we could share photos and videos from any device, and they'll instantly appear on the frame, which makes it easy because she's getting up there in years. It's easy to set up. It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app, and it's the perfect gift for Mother's Day. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app, and if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. It is the perfect gift for Mother's Day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get 30% off free shipping and their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code ODDITIES at checkout to save. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com, and use code ODDITIES at checkout to save.
Terms and conditions apply.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Our next story comes from the Philippines.
Hey, Kat and Jethro, fellow freak here. Your podcast healed my cat. Thank you so much for reading my email. Gave me goosebumps while I was listening to it. I never thought you would read it. And now I want to share with you my paranormal experiences. Because even at a young age, I was already exposed to the paranormal. My nanny, who comes from a place here in the Philippines steeped in mystery and superstition, always told me bedtime stories involving creatures only found in our country. We have our version of witches that can cause sickness. They curse you, basically, and you get sick, and you have to go to what they call albularios, who then give you potions and pray over you and hopefully break that curse so that you are not sick anymore. It's a whole deal. We even have women here who grow wings on the full moon and leave their legs on the ground while they fly in search of their next victim. They are called manananggals, and I've never seen one, but I don't ever want to see one. I can go on and on about local folklore, but it's the ghost stories I love the best. My nanny always told me I had the gift of attracting the paranormal. As a young child, what was I to make of this declaration? I listened to her stories and went to sleep having nightmares, but I always thought it was all in good fun. Only when I got older did I begin to understand what she'd meant about attracting the paranormal. And I honestly don't call it a gift. My first encounter with the paranormal was in high school. A beloved family friend of ours died, and at the time, I knew very little about the concept of death, but I did mourn his passing, and I didn't expect him to visit me in my dreams a week after his burial. Some call this the visitation, and since we were close, I didn't think much of seeing him in all white standing outside the house that I lived in at the time. He waved at me, a smile on his face. Then he went into the house and disappeared. My second paranormal experience happened when I was home alone. My parents had gone to the market and I was lying in bed upstairs thinking of watching television to pass the time. The grandfather clock in the living room chimed 5 times. At the last chime, the scent of flowers filled the room that I was in. It was the sweetest of smells. Instead of feeling fear, I felt a sense of comfort. I stood from the bed to investigate where the scent was coming from. I thought my mother had returned from the market, but then again, she didn't wear floral perfumes. She wore more musky perfumes. But I called down the stairs anyway, but there was no answer. I searched the whole house, but soon I realized the scent was only coming from this one room that I was in at the time. When I told my mother about this, she asked me to describe the scent. I recalled it as best as I could, and when I finished, she said it was the perfume of her grandmother. And since she grew up with my grandmother, my great-grandmother at the time, so she knows the smell well. She told me it must have been my great-grandmother checking up on me, and every year since, on November 1 at 5 p.m., no matter where I am, I get a whiff of her perfume. So because of that, I light a candle in her honor, since November 1 in the Philippines is considered All Souls Day. My last paranormal experience happened earlier this year. They say dogs see what we don't, and I believe this because when we had a dog, he followed me everywhere, especially to my room where he loved to hang out. One night, I climbed the stairs with him at my heels. Once we reached the hallway that led to my room, he stopped at the entrance while I stood by my door. My dog sat down and began barking. Not the straight kind of barking. He would bark, then pause a beat, then bark again. Looking beyond where I stood, at the dark corner of the hallway where the light doesn't seem to reach, I called my dog's name, asked him to come. I even had my room door open already so that he would go in, and he just kept barking at whatever was beyond me. A chill raced down my spine, which led me to run to my dog, pick him up, and then we went to my room, and that's the only time that he stopped barking. Months later, I was just about to fall asleep when I felt the presence of someone in my room. I opened my eyes and reached for the lamp. I switched the light on, and there was nothing there. I turned off the light and went back to sleep. The next light, same thing happened. This continued for about three more nights, and by the end of the week, I was convinced someone was in my room watching me sleep. One particular night, I was already half asleep when the corner of my bed jerked like someone was passing by and had stubbed their toe on it. I bolted upright, flicked on the light, and like before, there was no one there. You have to understand, my bed is really heavy, and it takes a great amount of force to move it. Even to just jerk a corner of it takes a lot of strength. And since then, I can't sleep with a fully dark room. I have to have at least one lamp open, even if it's just a dim lamp, so that I will be able to go to sleep. All right, I have more stories to share, but I will leave it at that. Thank you so much for your podcast. Thank you so much for what you do. You bring light into our freakdom, and I appreciate that, and Twix appreciates that also. Thank you.
Sounds like she comes from an area where there's a lot of paranormal activity. Certainly, there's a lot of folklore there. Next to having the covers pulled off me, having my bed jerked out from under me. That's one of my bigger fears.
I think paranormal or not, that's not something you want to have happen.
We've often talked about how animals are very sensitive. In our last episode, we spoke about how Haggis wouldn't walk through that cold spot at the haunted hotel that we were staying in. Here's another great example.
Hi, I'm Josh Vidmar. I've only ever had one event that I consider to be truly paranormal in nature and otherwise impossible to explain. 2016 was what I refer to as the year of hell. A lot changed all at once, and not much of it was for the better, and I found that I had a hard time keeping my head above water. Worst of all, our beloved cat Loaf passed away from FIP. 3 days later, I was laid off from my job. Suffice it to say, I was in rough shape. The days that followed were a blur, and I honestly barely remember any of it, just that it was a dark, awful spiral. Until one night. I had somehow managed to fall asleep at a reasonable hour, and had fallen into a deep sleep, much deeper than I'd gotten in a good week. And there was Loaf. We were, for some unknown reason, in the local movie theater, sitting on the floor. He brought me his favorite green spring to throw. He was weird and liked to play fetch until he would get tired. Then he'd curl up in my lap. In the dream, we did just this. Then he stood up, and we were suddenly in the vet's office, in the room where we actually put him to sleep. And I could feel, like, really feel him thinking that it was okay, that it was time for him to go. Then the vet came in, and there was this incredible bright light beyond the door, and the vet herself seemed different. Come to think of it, it may have been the four wings she had. And then they walked out. The door closed, and I woke up. The thing is, as you guys have said innumerable times, brains are dumb. My brain, especially, is not nice to me. So in this time of incredible stress and awfulness, I can't possibly think that anything other than an external force, that Loaf himself, could be the one telling me that everything would be okay. And it was. Shortly after, we adopted our kitty Mabel, and I started a job that I still have to this day. Loaf was right.
I love the name Loaf.
It's a great name.
Great name for a cat.
Thanks so much, Josh, who is one of our very talented listeners, author of the Stryker novels.
Yeah, also a member of the Inner Circle of Freaks on Patreon.
Thanks so much.
It's not only animals that are more sensitive than most people, but children often are as well. And Dominic has our last story.
Hi, Ken and Jethro. I have two quick stories for you. They both happened in my parents' room. The first one is when my mom were sleeping because my dad was gone, so I was able to sleep with them. And I was sleeping facing the window, and right at a couple feet from, I don't know how far from the bed, there was a black triangle that had flashing, stoles in it. It was just so weird. I think it was the same night, I don't know, because it happened a while ago. But, and I was looking again over towards the window, and above my mom's lamp, there was a World War I soldier. I was wearing a gas mask, and there would be a tube going to, like, this pouch, and that tube was gone. That's my stories, and I've never had them since then.
Oof.
Yeah. Are you my mommy?
Oh, my God.
That's the first thing I thought of. Doctor Who reference for y'all. Some great stories this year. And again, if you sent us one, we didn't get it in one of the two episodes, we'll save it. And perhaps we'll have an opportunity to use it next year or sometime in the future. Please know that we appreciate the effort that you sent. We've just run out of time.
Yeah, maybe this is something that we should expand upon. I mean, because we did get so many stories. I don't know, it's just something to think about.
Indeed. Have a great Halloween, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Be safe and keep flying that freak flag.
And fly it proudly, you beautiful freak.
And so, let it be known that the Box of Oddities belongs to you, and its fate is in your hands. Henceforth, the Box of Oddities commits to the telling of stories. Stories of the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com. On Facebook at Facebook.com/Box of Oddities Podcast. On Twitter at Box of Oddities. And Instagram at Box of Oddities Podcast. Copyright 2021. All rights reserved.
If you like this podcast, can we recommend another one? It's called Big Picture Science. You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts, and its name tells part of the story. The big picture questions and the most interesting research in science.
Seth and I are the hosts. Seth is a scientist. I am Molly, and I'm a science journalist. And we talk to people smarter than us, and we have fun along the way. The show is called Big Picture Science, and as Seth said, you can hear it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.